Two balls and two strikes. Flanagan into the move to the left-handed swinging Dave Bergman. High and away, ball three. Well, now the count is as full as she'll ever get. And Flanagan has got to work to the left-hander Bergman. You think Bergman isn't thinking about things? You bet. He doesn't want to be the last out or the second to last out. The pitch struck him out. Swing and a miss. Down goes Bergman. And now Travis Fryman is on his way to the plate. And Flanagan will try to get the right-handed batter Fryman. And then he will become the pitcher who got the last out at Memorial Stadium in the last game ever played here. Ball game has been out of hand since early in the ball in the afternoon. Flanagan throws low and outside for a ball. I'm not too sure how Mike feels about the stuff he has today. Emotionally, he has to be just wrung out. But he struck out Bergman, and now the right-handed swinging Travis Fryman. The pitch is outside for ball two. Two balls, no strikes. Travis is 1-for-4 this afternoon. He singled back in the third inning. Other than that, he hasn't gotten a ball out of the infield. Flanagan's 2-0 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike one. Another great Oriole left-hander of yesteryear stopped in the radio booth to say hello to me today and to Ken Levine. Man by the name of Dave McNally. What great memories we have of Dave. The 2-1 pitch. Strike. Two is called. The off-speed breaking ball. Listen to the approval of the crowd. It's just beating a dead horse. But these people are special. They're on their feet all over Memorial Stadium rooting for Flanagan to get the final out. Ball is high. Three balls, two strikes. And again, that thunderous ovation swells through Memorial Stadium. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Flanagan now slowly walks to the dugout. And the pulse rate will slow a little bit. He gets the ball from Bob Melvin. That will be a treasured trophy for Mike Flanagan. And I'm sure he's a little emotionally upset as he walks by his teammates and goes into the dugout. That's it at the end of 8.5 innings. A score, the Detroit Tigers 7 and the Baltimore Orioles 1.
Competition. It's what gets you up in the morning, drives you to make the extra call, work the extra hour, catch the earlier plane. It's also why you got the car phone, so you can start your day when you leave your driveway, call your client before the other guy does. And that's why you made sure that phone was on the Bell Atlantic mobile system, because Bell Atlantic understands what it takes to compete, to lead. That's why they offer special incentives. You sign up right now, and you can get $60 of local airtime credit. That's in addition to getting the carrier with the most coverage in the Mid-Atlantic region. Over 20,000 square miles, with 8,000 square miles in the Washington-Baltimore area alone. And now special airtime credits. That's how Bell Atlantic stays competitive, by providing what you need to compete. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time in the car.
Sign a one-year service contract for one of Bell Atlantic's business plans and get $30 of local airtime credit the first month, $30 after 1 year. Offer for a limited time. Not available through all representatives. $175 fee applies for early termination. Call 1-800-255-BELL for more details. Bell Atlantic Mobile.
Here's Jeff Rimmer and John Lowenstein for Ron Mann's Richie Nissan Jeep and Eagle.
Hey, what's that noise, John? Sounds like someone hit a home run.
Not quite. I just finished telling the crowd about Ron Mann's Richie Nissan Jeep and Eagle. Watch this.
Ron Mann's Richie Nissan Jeep and Eagle, the high IQ dealership.
Doesn't surprise me.
What?
The fact that you'll do anything to hear the roar of the crowd again.
It's great, isn't it? Watch this.
Ron Mann's Richie Nissan Jeep and Eagle on Richie Highway in Glen Burnie.
I'm ill.
I'm John Patti.
And I'm Jill Cohen.
News.
Weather.
Traffic.
Sports.
The WBAL News Journal keeps you up to date.
4 till 6 weekdays on WBAL.
Baltimore's News Talk Station.
We are headed to the bottom of the ninth inning. The Orioles trailing 7-1 in the final game in the history of this great old ballpark. And Devereaux leads off, looking at a breaking ball, strike one from the
easy, soft-throwing Frank Tanana. Tanana has spanned Devereaux one time this afternoon. Devereaux had a triple back in the first inning off Tanana, who's working on a four-hitter. He throws low and inside for a ball. I think I mentioned early in the ball game, when you give this fella, Tanana, a four-run lead to work with, he's going to be very difficult to beat. And he's proven to be very difficult to beat. Changeup is in and a strike two is called. Here's a pitch that gets right by Devereaux as he swings and he runs down to first base and will reach. And we'll see how they score that. Whether it'll be a pass ball or a wild pitch that accords in first base. But Devereaux fans, and then the ball came by the catcher Tettleton all the way to the screen, and Devereaux reaches first. They're not going to hold with him. Here's Joe Orsulak. Joe is collared 0 for 3 by Tanana this afternoon. And the pitch. He takes a strike over the outside corner at the knees. Now the one-strike pitch, a passed ball, has been ruled against Tettleton. Here's a swing and a fly ball in shallow left center field. Coming on the center fielder, Kyler, he's there and makes the grab, and that's the first out on the bottom of the ninth inning. Who will make the final out for the Orioles? Cal Ripken is getting a thunderous ovation. Ladies and gentlemen, just listen. As it dies down, Ripken steps in, and here is Tanana's first pitch to Cal. It's high for a ball. That's something he's thrown a little bit harder than anything else he's thrown all afternoon. How do you wait on a guy like Tanana? It's awfully hard to wait on a fellow like Tanana, because he's capable of throwing the ball at reasonable speeds. But he's just a smart, heady pitcher. He keeps the hitters off balance all of the time. The 1-0 pitch to Cal Ripken. Swing ground ball right up the third baseman. He's got the throw, goes to second. That's one on the first base, and that is a double play. And that is the ball game. 5-4-3. Kind of fitting, I think, in a peculiar sense, that the best player the Orioles can put on the field any given day of any baseball season here of late is Cal Ripken. And his bat is what records the final outs in the history of this stadium. The Tigers are very happy and celebrate their victory. The Orioles are not at all happy because they have to look at a defeat in their final game. They show no runs, no hits, and nobody left on in the bottom of the ninth inning and have lost to the Detroit Tigers by a score of 7-1. Here are the totals. The Detroit 14 hits, no errors, and 10 left. And the Orioles, one run on four base hits. And there's one error, and they leave three. Tanana's a winning pitcher, and Tanana's record now is 13-12. And the Orioles, the losing pitcher, of course, is starter Bob Mielacki. And Mielacki's record now is 10 wins and 9 defeats. And 1991 is history. Now, the Baltimore City Police have now come out and surrounded the entire playing area. And, of course, John Miller will be with us momentarily from the television side. He's coming over here. And we are waiting to see the program that the Orioles have orchestrated to say goodbye to this wonderful, wonderful old lady. And before we leave the air today, just on the outside chance that none of you have heard the goodbye that former Orioles catcher Rick Dempsey penned, I would ask, when John gets here, I'm going to ask him to read it to you. I read it the other day downtown at the Advocates Luncheon, which was one of the most delightful experiences I've had in many years, as they had a great gang of old Orioles at the head table, led by their skipper, Earl Weaver. Jim Palmer was there. Brooks couldn't make it. He was in California, but he's here for the weekend ceremony and is here today, of course. Boog Powell was here. Cal Ripken was there. Bobby Gritch also there. Tippy Martinez was there. Ken Singleton. What a great head table, and I wish you could have heard the things that they had to say at that luncheon. And now, it is time to say farewell to this beloved lady on 33rd Street. And we're going to let you listen to the words.
Take it in grand style to your new home downtown, Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Later, we hope to see the plate planted in a ceremony at Oriole Park, live on the Diamond Vision screen via satellite. But before we say goodbye to home plate, we thought it only appropriate that an Oriole touch the plate just one more time. And who better than the man who, from 1966 through 1971, was responsible for more Orioles cleats pounding home plate than any other player. Yes, to touch home plate just one more time, ladies and gentlemen, number 20, Frank Robinson.
And Frank has entered the field in uniform. He touches third base, then runs down the line to touch home. Standing with both feet on home plate and waving with his right hand to the crowd is Frank Robinson.
Well, John Miller has moved into the microphone here on our radio side, and the first phase of our goodbye to this grand lady on 33rd Street has been taken care of, and now we have a motorcycle escort leading a great big limo in through the entrance of left field, and if we can get the PA turned down just a little bit, we'll be able to let you know what has happened. There's a mounted corps of policemen in center field, and city policemen have lined all the way from the foul line in right field all the way around to the foul line in left field. And now the limo with the police escort is coming around the warning track, the cinder track, toward the visitor's dugout, the Tiger dugout, on the first base side. And now it turns off the track and onto the grass and is headed out across the infield, stopping between the mound and home plate. And, John, I wonder who will be getting out of this limo.
Well, somebody wearing a white dinner jacket, and he's now going to open the door, and we're going to get some folks who come out all wearing a... These look like the members of the grounds crew to me, Chuck.
Well, there are one, two, three, five of them there now, six. Great big limo.
All very well dressed.
I'll say they're very well dressed.
The way they always dress.
Except for those running shoes they're wearing.
Now they go to the trunk and open it.
I think these are the fellows who are going to, in style, remove home plate.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. They will undertake to remove the plate and take it downtown.
And
what a great performance.
Paul Zwaska, the head groundskeeper, wearing his white dinner jacket. And he went... and has one of the picks, and they're going to begin with the pick action here and dig up the dirt around home plate. They're really doing this in style, though. They went to the trunk of the limo, opened it up, and they formed a receiving line, and as they handed the tool out, each in turn then handed it to the man next to him, and it went down the line to home plate. And the five members of the grounds crew are now surrounding home plate. They're all wearing sunglasses, while Zwaska and one of his assistants do the dirty work around the plate.
I love the posture of the members of the ground crew. They're very erect, their arms folded in front of them.
Look like
that very cold, hard, mercenary stare at the crowd.
Look like bodyguards.
They do. They look like bodyguards.
You know, I saw the Temptations do the same thing in 74 on stage once.
Is that right? What did they take off stage, Ken?
Probably one of the ushers.
Anybody recognize the music in the background?
Flight of the Bumblebee.
Is that what that is?
I think it's a Le Sabre dance.
You could have fooled me.
at. Is it the Saber Dance?
I think so.
Yeah.
Saber Dance, I think, yes. Now, the Diamond Vision board is filled with a close-up of the action at home plate, still pecking away with those picks. And they are very close to accomplishing their task. But I must say they've gone about it with a vengeance.
Actually, I guess it would be difficult to rehearse something like this.
Yeah.
Because it would be rather obvious the next day that they dug it up and they stuck it back in.
You got one shot. Do it right or don't do it.
Well, they could practice at Dodger Stadium this morning if they wanted to.
Look at the driver of the limo. He can't believe what he's seeing. He said, I brought these guys dressed up like that to do something like this.
He's sitting there in the driver's seat of the car looking out at this action with his mouth
throws
wide
his hands
open.
Up. Yeah.
Well, now they've got a third guy with he's got like a crowbar to try to wedge in there and try to dig this thing up.
Just shows that the Orioles do not give up easily.
Now, of course, they'll be taking this down to the new ballpark down at Camden Yards and installing it there. Yeah. Jim McCain will be down there. I know you chatted
with
him earlier.
That's right. Well, they're going to try to show it via satellite on the Diamond Vision board when they get it down there.
For the folks back here. And this is almost sort of like a religious ceremony here. They did this in Cincinnati when they moved into Riverfront Stadium for the old Crosley Field. Now they've gotten it up. They've dug it up. Boy, look how big that is. It must be about a foot deep, home plate.
If they open that thing up, I want to go down there. Well, they don't. Okay, it's fine.
They pick it up. Swaska and his other ground crew member put it in the trunk of the limousine.
All right, men, back in the limo.
They clap their hands together as if to say, hey, nothing to it.
Now they're going to take it to dinner.
They got to put the rest of the tools, the shovels and the picks and the crowbar back in the trunk.
I got news for you. This is a nifty way to take home plate out. It really is.
Cincinnati, they moved into the new ballpark in the middle of the season. And on opening night in the new ballpark in the middle of the season, they took the old home plate from Crosley Field. They dangled it from a helicopter.
Oh.
On a cable, the helicopter flew over to Riverfront and landed carrying this home plate dangling from the helicopter. And it landed near home plate. They installed it just before the start of the game.
I would imagine it's a bit easier to install it than it is to take it out.
I would vote for being on the installation crew rather than the excavation crew. Yeah.
Well, now the police escort, the motorcycle policemen have formed over there in the left field line. The limo now pulls across the third baseline onto the warning track and will take home plate down to Orioles Park at Camden Yards, which along about Memorial Day will become Orioles Park.
Yeah, I think so.
I really do. Well, the people who are in charge of the program this afternoon have gotten it off to a heck of a good start. Frank touched home plate for the last time, and now this great extravaganza of removing home plate has been completed. Television cameramen roll out there and get close-ups of the dirt.
Well, now we've got the main event, which, of course, has been a very closely guarded secret these last few days. But we can tell you that a lot of former Orioles, and in fact about 100 of them, have converged on Baltimore these last few days.
There are a lot of Orioles here that the ball club has not made known to the public. And we will find out who they are in a brief moment or two, I would suspect.
They've had like a big reunion here. They had a big party last night downtown, and none of the folks here, 50,700, know to it. I mean, this was really a closely guarded secret, and they did well. There's been nothing in the papers about it.
We spotted a couple of the players that were not announced as being here taking their seats in the crowd, and the saw standing ovations. But
well, let's pick up now.
It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again.
James Earl Jones, and that was from the motion picture Field of Dreams, at the field, the Iowa cornfield, toward the end of the game as they watched Shoeless Joe and all of the old stars of the past play a ball game, and he was talking to the Kevin Costner character. Now, they've got Brooks Robinson coming up out of the Orioles dugout in uniform. And he runs out to third base. And he's wearing a glove. Everybody at the stadium on their feet, saluting number five. Over at third base, where he played for 21 Hall of Fame years, and nobody ever did it better. Chuck, I know you saw most of those years and most of those great plays. Now here comes number 20, Frank Robinson, out of the third base dugout. With glove in hand, he is heading out to right field. Running across the infield. And Chuck, 1966, did you ever dream that Frank Robinson came here, all of those things would happen?
Never did, but I've said publicly, and I'll say it again, that Frank Robinson taught the Orioles how to win. He was by far the most aggressive, competitive, all-out, even at sometimes reckless player. And he installed a winning spirit by example, and also he did it vocally. Brooks never had very much to say. He did most of his leading by example.
The crowd will tell you who this is. Number 26, here comes Boog Powell in uniform, doffing his cap, heading over to first base.
You can still get into that uniform.
I can remember how many times talking to Boog, and he'd say, "Charlie, I'm not so sure I hear that G."
Boog Powell over at first. He's holding a baseball, and he's holding it aloft, saluting the crowd as they salute him. And here comes Jim Palmer, heading to the mound, in uniform, number 22, as they, at Memorial Stadium, enact their own Field of Dreams scene here.
Well, some fan has seen fit to try and destroy the moment the Orioles are building by running out on the field and supposedly taking cameras, taking pictures. That's being about as thoughtless as a fan can be. The chances are pretty good he's not a fan. He probably has never been in the ballpark before. But he is being led off the field.
And he may not even remember it by the morning.
That's right. And
well, here's a big surprise. Don Baylor, the hitting instructor for the Milwaukee Brewers, has gone to left field. And now look who's coming. From the Brewers, but back in an Orioles uniform one last time, Rick Dempsey heading to the plate. Johnson out to second base.
Bobby also, Gritch.
Johnson number 15, Gritch number 3. Here comes Rich Dower. He's been the third base coach of the Indians. Three second basemen head out to their position.
If I had a game to play, I'd take any one of them.
All outstanding.
Look at this one.
Hall of Famer. Louis. Boy, Louis Aparicio in an Orioles uniform again. And another great shortstop right behind him.
Mark Belanger.
And it's just starting here. Number 14, the bopper. Lee May. Somebody used to say, Chuck, he's going to swing at everything because they might throw me 12 sliders, but somewhere they're going to throw me a fastball.
That's right.
When they do, I'm going to hit it. Here comes Pat Kelly out into left field. He'll join Baylor out there. Look at Lee May and Boog Powell together. Lee May looks like a junior leaguer compared to Boog.
Well, he looks like Mark Belanger alongside of Boog.
Now Elrod Hendricks comes to home plate to join Rick Dempsey.
John Lowenstein, Gary Renicky.
Renickstein.
Lowenstein and Renicky.
One of the great left field platoons ever. Together they'd hit 35, 40 home runs, wouldn't they?
They did that.
Now Dave McNally.
Yep.
He didn't have the stuff of a Palmer, but was there ever a finer pitcher?
Never. I've always said the finest right-handed pitcher I've ever seen with the Orioles is Jim Palmer. By far the finest left-hander is Dave McNally.
Right behind him, Pat Dobson. And here comes Mike Cuellar, the 420
game winners.
And you look around this stadium, people are getting emotional here, Chuck.
Uh-huh.
Now over to third base to stand alongside Brooks.
Doug DeSensei. Jim Gentile.
All in uniform, all wearing their old numbers. Gentile, number 4, heading for first base. Here's an old familiar name, Chuck. Russ Snyder.
He hit more ground balls to second base than any other Oriole in the history of the franchise.
Well, he'll stop
but
at second.
What a great guy he was and a good player.
Here comes Mike Flanagan again. Another 20-game winner, another Cy Young winner for the Orioles. Look at that pitching staff assembled at the mound.
Look at the catchers, Hendricks and Dempsey, applauding the pitchers as they came to the mound.
Now, still active, he pitched a perfect game this year. Now with the Montreal Expos, Dennis Martinez, back at Memorial Stadium, and listen to the ovation for Dennis. The Orioles, black and orange still fits. Here comes one of the great lefties, Scott McGregor, up out of the dugout.
And I think he'll have a little company. Ross Grimsley. Great story about Ross Grimsley. He was having trouble making the club many years ago in spring training. And Bamberger was sent out to talk to him on the mound by Earl Weaver. And you know what Bamberger said to Grimsley?
What?
He said, "Do you know how to cheat?" And Grimsley said, "No." He said, "Well, I think if I were you, I'd start learning." And he learned how to throw a spitter, and he stayed around for a few years.
Now Jim Dwyer, Terry Crowley. Now the hitting instructor with Minnesota. Kiko Garcia goes out to the infield. Tippy Martinez joins the mound.
And Len Sakata.
And he goes to home plate.
That's right, he did. He went up with the catchers.
Larry Sheets heads out to right field.
Dave Crishon and John Stefaro.
Won a ball game here dramatically in 83 against the Brewers in his hometown.
They just keep coming, John.
Don Ossie, Milt Pappas.
Steve Barber. Eddie Watt. Pete Rickert and Grant Jackson.
All meeting out at the mound, those latter few.
And look at this.
Comes one of the biggest players, even bigger than Boone.
Tim Stoddard. And here comes Stanhouse. And don't you know he'd be different? Don't you know he'd be different? An orange jersey, gray pants. And then Marcelino Lopez and Dave Leonard.
Here comes Mo Drabowski right behind him.
Tom Chopay, Dave Skaggs, Willie Miranda. Look at number 7, Willie Miranda. Always thought he wanted that berth on the Pullman car because it was his number. Then I finally figured it out. Number 7 was in the middle of the Pullman car. That's why he wanted it.
Hey, he was a pretty good shortstop, wasn't
Whoa,
he?
Whoa, was he?
Here's Bob Boyd, original.
Yep.
Marv Breeding, Jackie Brandt. Gil Cohen, who was an original, yep. 54.
Chuck Deering, Joe Durham, Glenn Gulliver, Ron Hanson, and Gene Woodling. You talk about a man who could handle the bat. That number 14, Mr. Woodling, is trotting out to left field. Dick Hall comes out to join the pitchers.
Robin Roberts. Bob Turley, Bill Swaggerty, who was here for a while. How about Hal Skinny Brown went into the Orioles Hall of Fame this year?
That's right. As far as I'm concerned, he was one of the best golfers I saw among the ball players for many years.
Let's see, Joe Ginsburg, Billy Hitchcock, Billy Hunter, Bob Johnson, Connie Johnson.
Dick Hall is out there. Connie Johnson is there. Dyer Miller. They just keep coming. Tim Nordbrook, Billy O'Dell, John O'Donohue, Barry Chatrone, a local lad.
And John O'Donohue's son is pitching for the Orioles in the farm system.
That's right,
now.
He is. That's right, he is.
Fred Valentine.
Lou Slater. Jerry Walker. Jimmy Williams, first base coach. George Zubering. There they are.
Now, the current Orioles will come out.
Yep.
The 1991 Orioles, and led by Kevin Hickey, the Hickman.
That's right.
And they will take their positions. Orioles will come out.
Yep.
The 1991 Orioles, and led by Kevin Hickey, the Hickman.
That's right.
And they will take their positions. Chito Martinez out to right field. Mercedes to left. Devereaux to center. Hewlett over to third. Brady Anderson heads out to left. And even this ball club that lost 95, plenty of cheers left for them.
I hope all of them, some of the younger people, I hope, have learned a little bit about this franchise and what it means to be. I guess Eddie Wake has said it better than anybody else many years ago when he said, it's great to be old, rather, it's great to be young and be an old Oriole. I think baseball players will remember for a long time once they've worn this Oriole uniform. Cal Ripken Sr. out there with Billy Hunter, the third base coach.
The last two, as John Oates comes out, are supposed to be Cal Jr.
That's right.
And then Earl Weaver, which was the final surprise. They're waiting for them. Cal, here comes Cal. And he joins the shortstop brigade. Miranda, Aparicio, Belanger, and a whole long list of great Orioles shortstops. We've had some great ones here.
Oh, we have. You can pick about any position you want to, and you can say we have had some great ones.
Over at first is Milligan and Glenn Davis with Gentile and Luke Powell. And here comes number four, Earl Weaver, in uniform again. And he runs out to home plate, exchanges handshakes with John Oates and the rest of the catchers down there.
Yep. Earl said the other day, he said, I could not imagine not being here today. He said, I could not even imagine such a thing. Somebody else described Earl Weaver very well at the Advocates Luncheon the other day, John. Called him the most patient, impatient manager they've ever known.
And he waves to the crowd. Everybody's standing and applauding. And now all of the Phelps out there, about 100 former and current Orioles, doff their caps to the greatest fans in baseball. One last time here at Memorial Stadium. I'm not sure who thought this up, Chuck, but they deserve some kind of an award. This was a brilliant idea.
Not only brilliant, but very, very well executed. And I think we're indebted to the Orioles Public Relations Department, headed by Rick Vaughn, Julie Wagner.
Now Bob Brown is out there. Looks like he's trying to get them all together for a group picture on the field.
I got news for you. You're going to need a heck of a lens.
Well, I want a copy of this picture with all of these Orioles and there's 50,000 behind them in the stadium.
Would that be something to see?
But what they're doing now, they're forming a circle.
That's what they're doing.
Around the grass of the infield. On the infield, sort of around the pitcher's mound and bordering along the grass of the infield. And a cameraman, this might be one of those 360-degree type
cameras. I think that's what it is, John. It would have to be.
I definitely am going to put my order in for this one, Chuck.
I would like to. I don't have too many trophies.
Yeah, I'd like a wallet size.
Yeah.
So you got 100 former Orioles, all the current Orioles.
That's one of the nicest parts of it to me, John, that they bring back the older Orioles from a better year, but remember the guys who did it this year, even though they had a disappointing year.
Yeah.
To include them in this ceremony was a very thoughtful and a good thing to do.
And now as they set up for the picture, Memorial Stadium offers another salute to 38 years of Orioles baseball at Memorial Stadium. Chuck, you look at some of the people they brought back today. Not just... And Earl goes to the home plate area and kicks some dirt at an imaginary umpire one last time.
Yeah. They're kind of getting him in close, a little bit closer, so there will not be any kind of a noticeable gap. It'll just be a solid wall of humanity. Uniformed Orioles, members of the training staff. And I would suspect that Ernie Tyler would be in there somewhere.
So this is a 360-degree picture that
a panoramic
sort of long and slender poster.
Let's talk to our partner who knows a little bit about pictures. And is this a panoramic kind of a picture they're taking, Ken? Or
I think what happens is that the camera spins around and takes a number of different shots.
Sectional.
Well, they took one on opening day here, for the final opening day, like this from the upper deck, and they gave it out on a poster deck.
That's right, they did.
And it was, as they said, a 360-degree picture, and they have finished. Saw the camera rotate on its axis, and I think Rick Dempsey is going to lead them in one final Orioles cheer.
It won't be the final. There'll be a few of them.
He's waving the towel, and the crowd loves it. Here we go.
Say goodbye to this lovely old stadium in Baltimore.
And
now they stand along the foul lines. Looks like Brooks is going to be the first guy off the field again. I've never known a player in the history of the game who could leave the ballpark sooner than Brooks Robinson.
Well, now they're all heading over toward the seats, and they're tossing baseballs up into the seats.
Yeah. Bless Don Standhouse.
Stan, the man unusual.
Yeah, the man unusual is right.
Everybody had their Orioles uniform on except Stanhouse had the orange jersey.
Yeah.
I'm sure he thought that was his uniform.
I noticed that the younger guys throw him a little bit better than the older guys do. Brady Anderson tossed a couple to the upper deck. Rick Dempsey throws a few. He goes to the upper deck with one.
Dennis Martinez.
I noticed one thing. They're not
going
to throw any in the press box. Kind of happy about that.
They know that it would kill somebody if they did it. Well, that Orioles cheer, and again, this franchise, I think, Chuck, when you think of the Orioles and great players, great success, a history of excellence, but also that added ingredient, the Orioles and their fans, and it's a special relationship. We've seen it all season, all weekend, for a ball club that lost 95, $2.5 million plus show up. And here today, a terrible ball game, and yet the ovations were there. There's a love affair between the city and this ball club.
It's been said a lot of different ways, but I've sensed it and felt it for a long time, that there is something just a little bit special between Oriole and, let's say, put the Colts in there too, the professional football and baseball teams that operated in Baltimore. There's a little special relationship between those teams and their fans. Maybe it's because many years ago when I first came to Baltimore, they said it's a big city with a small town atmosphere. And I don't think that's insulting at all. I think that's kind of a nice thing to say about a metropolis such as Baltimore.
Well,
but there is something between Orioles fans and their players.
Well, they say about small towns, everybody knows everybody.
That's right.
And in this town, everybody knew the old Colts. I mean, they knew them.
I must say that yesterday...
I'm only sorry that the old Colts could not have a final game.
Well, the Orioles honored the old Colts here some time back, a couple of weeks ago. But I must say one thing, that this afternoon, the manner in which the Orioles have presented themselves on the field, is just one of the nicest ways you could possibly think of to say goodbye to this great old ballpark. These men had a party downtown last night, and a good friend of mine, photographer Jerry Wachter, said, Chuck, he said, I'm sorry you weren't there. He said it was absolutely one of the greatest experiences you could have had.
Now, the home plate whisked by a police escorted limousine down to the Camden Yards ballpark. And let's go to Jim McKay at Camden Yards.
I think a person to have that honor should give some credentials. Although I only moved here from Philadelphia when I was 15, I saw many games at Old Oriole Park at 29th and Greenmount. The first date I ever had with my wife, Margaret, was a Colts game of the All-America Conference at then called Municipal Stadium. We moved away for 32 years, came back to see the Orioles in Memorial Stadium, and now, what an honor to be here for the beginning of the new ballpark, and to have with me my grandson, James, all of whose Oriole memories are ahead of him.
Now, we are watching this on the Diamond Vision from Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Jim McKay standing alongside a podium and introducing the folks down there for the home plate ceremony.
The head of the Maryland Stadium Authority, Herb Belgrad. Gentlemen, it's time to put in home plate. Helping them, some kids from the school that the Orioles have adopted, youngsters from the Samuel F. Morse Elementary School. They're going to set home plate.
Now the kids are all around home plate. Larry Lucchino, Orioles president, involved.
So there it is.
They have
the
set
new
it in
ballpark
place.
Is officially underway. I want to thank all of you and all of you for allowing me to take part in this today, but there's one more thing to come. For the final words to be uttered at Memorial Stadium ever after an Orioles game, we have on videotape a message from the beloved man who is recovering and recovering well from illness at Sinai Hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, the voice of Memorial Stadium, Rex Barney.
And the ovation coming from Memorial Stadium.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry I can't be with you today. But on behalf of the entire Oriole organization, ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
And all of those Orioles on the field near the third baseline now doff their caps to the crowd. And Rick Dempsey at home plate. And remember those rain delays when he used to do his Babe Ruth routine. And he's doing it again as Dennis Martinez throws in the Demper as the Bambino. Chucky hits a long one.
I think this is one of those center field shots.
I think it's got a chance.
Going.
It's way back.
Going.
It's out of here, baby. Dempsey count around third. He's got the pillow stuffed under his jersey.
Yeah.
He high-fives it with all of the Oriole greats and makes the headlong dive as the Bambino.
He missed the play.
Well, it's great to be young and be an old Oriole. John, before we get off the air this afternoon, I have a favor I'd like to ask of you, because Rick Dempsey has written a tribute to this great ballpark, and I'd like to have you read it.
Printed in the Baltimore Sun, and it goes like this. She's the lady in red. She's Baltimore's best. And many a great one have come from her nest. She gave birth to 1,000, adopted a few. By the way that she loved them, nobody knew. There was Brooksy and Frank, and Booger by name. There was Palmer, McNally, Paulie and Blade, Eddie and Flanny, and Tippy and Scott. Dauber and Cuellar, Stanhouse and Stodd. There was Moby and Kell, and Gary and Lowe, Richie and Dennis, Gus and the Crow. She made Earl her general, and Ripken the Sarge, and they led her children on a perilous charge. But when the battles had ended, on October subsides, there stood the lady in all of her pride. She's gray now and tired and goes to lay down. But the penance God gives her to wear is her crown. Glory and honor will sleep at her feet for the miracles she gave us on 33rd Street.
John, I thank you very much. I had to ask you to do that because I knew that I could not get through. I would never have been able to do it. And I'm grateful to you for sharing that with us. It's been a great afternoon.
I'm going to have to head back over to the TV side with Chuck.
All right.
Great pleasure to share it with you.
He's shaking you off. You got to wave off, John. Who needs you?
Well, good.
But it's been just as good as, I can't think of anything they might have done that would have been any more pleasant than what we have shared here this afternoon to close this ballpark.
It was brilliantly conceived. Great to see all of the great Orioles of the past.
Yeah.
And they, there was a motion picture called The Field of Dreams.
Yes, there was.
They actually pulled it off here. And then we saw Boog Powell and Jim Gentile and Lee May and Glenn Davis and Randy Milligan all standing together at first, and Brooks and DeSensei over at third, and there was Aparicio and Belanger and Cal and Miranda all together at shortstop, and all of those great pitchers, always the centerpiece of an Orioles franchise, all out there, the 420 game winners and all of the other greats as well.
There was only one great that could not be here this afternoon, and that's because he is in Japan, and he was a pretty fair to Midland center fielder named Paul Blair, but he had a good stand-in. He had Chuck Deering here today. Deering was an outstanding center fielder.
Named the most valuable Orioles player in that first season, 1954.
Some of the Orioles are still around signing autographs. There'll be a party downtown tonight where all of these fellows will get together with their wives and their friends. The Orioles have just outdone themselves this afternoon. They did not win the ball game, but it seems really it's not that important. But
the game, the highlight of the game, I thought, was when Flanagan preserved the victory with a dramatic strikeout as 50,700.
That's exactly
screamed
right.
Screamed madly.
Yeah.
That's the way I remember it.
I said at the time, John, I said that Flanagan's got a lot of great memories from this game of baseball, and I don't think that any will quite top the walk he took from the bullpen to the mound and the thunderous ovation that greeted him.
That was something.
It really was. Remember opening day when they introduced Flanagan, he got a stunning ovation. And, you know, the first pitch hadn't been thrown. And now at the end of a disappointing year for Orioles baseball, he's summoned from the bullpen as if he was, you know, the greatest pitcher the Orioles had ever had this season, as if he was a 20-game winner and was coming out here to save number 21. It was just a great moment. Down on the field right now, there's a fellow walking from the third base dugout to the first base dugout that had a great hand in this, and I'm talking to about the Orioles' former public relations director, now in charge of Orioles' publications. I think he had to orchestrate the photographs and probably had a lot to do with getting old-time ballplayers back here again, Bob Brown. But all of that PR staff just did a great job. My goodness, how well they did their job this afternoon. If the Orioles team on the field had performed as well this season as these people have, we'd be headed for the World Series.
And certainly the folks here deserve one. 1983 was the last one, and certainly memorable. And now, ironically, some of the great attendance records in this ballpark have occurred since that time.
That's
during
right.
Some of the leanest years. And remarkably this year, the all-time attendance record, 2,552,000 for a club that lost 95 games.
Incredible. Just incredible. Can
you'll take away from Memorial Stadium some memories that'll stay with you, young man, for a long time.
Oh, indeed I will. And like I said earlier, even though I was just 1/38th a part of the grand tradition of this ballpark, it is something that I will cherish for the rest of my life.
It's been a great afternoon, John. I don't know what the sign-off procedures are, but we have enjoyed every moment that the Orioles have shown us this afternoon, and we are going to be back right after this message.
Hi, I'm April, assistant manager of the Fairfax Savings Bank branch on Light Street. You know what's so great about doing business with Fairfax? Our size. We're not one of those big banks where you walk in and look up at a ceiling 3 stories tall.
And I'm Joyce, manager at Fairfax's Randallstown branch. At Fairfax, we're small and plan on staying that way. Most of us know our customers by name, and when you have a question or problem, you get a quick answer.
There's no waiting. Our tellers can give you information on just about anything you want to know. Rates, checking, our most card, even loans.
If you need more personal or detailed help, our service desks are seldom more than a few feet away from our teller windows. You don't have to sit waiting for someone to come from somewhere to assist you.
Do your banking with the nice, friendly folks who work in small areas so we can be closer to all of you. At Fairfax, we're located in 9 wonderful neighborhood areas just waiting to say hi.
We're a great place to bank. Member FDIC.
John Miller and Ken Levine here bringing you Orioles baseball.
Calling all the action could sure build up your appetite. Luckily, food's on the way.
Ripken swings. There's a long drive deep in the left center field. Way back and...
food's here.
And here's our party platter from Giant Food.
Wow, honey ham, beef salami, buffalo wings, brie.
Boy, party foods from Giant really give you a taste for...
the game. Looks like we missed a triple.
Yeah, but we just hit a home run with party foods from Giant.
He's going. He's going to steal. He's got it. He's got it. He's got it. Save!
How about that? Sherwin-Williams presents the Steal of the Week. Prepare surfaces before you paint with Kills 2 Primer Sealer and Stain Killer from Masterchem. Great for interior and exterior priming. A steal is just $4.99 a quart. Save $2.50. Sale ends November 2nd. If it's a steal of a deal, it can only be one place. The pros know. Ask Sherwin-Williams.
John Miller along with Ken Levine and Chuck Thompson back here at Memorial Stadium. People beginning just now to file out. For a while, it looked like nobody was going to leave, but now they begin to leave this old ballpark one final time. And we are about to leave you as well. And Chuck, I know that you join me in this. Each of us has worked with Ken Levine this year, and I can say that, Ken, I enjoyed it very much. You were the rookie. You came in very nicely and did an excellent job, and great traveling companion, and it was our pleasure. I'm speaking here for you too, Chuck, but certainly my pleasure to work with you in 1991.
Well, thank you very much. It was not only a pleasure, it was also a privilege to work with both of you gentlemen this year. And I have a number of people quickly to thank. Jeff Beauchamp from WBAL, Larry Lucchino from the Orioles, my family. They have been so supportive through all of this. My wife, Debbie. And a special thank you to my father, who is here. And
Matthew.
And Matthew, my son.
How many 8-year-olds do you know who have seen 2 no-hit, no-run games in one season?
Not too many.
Not too many is right, yeah.
Not too many.
There's one other thing I think it needs to be said now as everybody files out of the ballpark, John, and listening to you and watching them move. I haven't seen anybody try to tear up anything. I haven't seen anybody try to do anything that would in any way disrupt the crowd that was here this afternoon. The wonderful feeling that we all take with us as we leave the ballpark has not in any way been perturbed or disturbed by any kind of rowdyism or ill behavior.
Yep.
My hat is off to the Baltimore fans. Well, that's about it. I want to thank you guys for putting up with the old man again. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope that you have everything that you can possibly get in the way of good health. And I'm going to go home and greet my wife and some very dear personal friends and see what I can do about getting rid of this cold.
Chuck Thompson,
maybe by next spring.
Privilege and great having you on the broadcast, and many years more. We're looking forward to it.
I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
So now from Memorial Stadium, the final time, the tumult and the shouting dies. The captains and the kings depart. Brooks and Frank, Boog and Jim, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget.
We want to thank all of the stations on the Orioles Radio Network who have been with us this year. It has indeed been a season to remember and a day to remember. So, from Memorial Stadium, for Chuck Thompson and John Miller. This is Ken Levine. Once again, the final score, Detroit 7 and the Orioles 1.